welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, precisionfuelandhydration.com. Personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so you can perform at your best. You can get 15% off your first order of electrolytes, gels, and drink mixes with the code OA22 at precisionfuelandhydration.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Coach Rob Wilby, and every week I bring you an episode of this podcast to help motivate and inspire you. This week we've got some news, we've got some race reports, we've got some upcoming races for this weekend, and I want to spend some time helping you guys out who've still got your big races coming up this year. So we've still got some really big races happening in August, September and October. We've got Copenhagen, Kalmar, the Collins Cup's happening for the pros, then we've got Ironman Wales is happening, 70.3 Weymouth is happening, a couple of outlaw halves are happening. So I thought it'd be a really good time at this point in the season to go over the best way that you can prepare yourself for a race, the best way you can get your taper right, really reiterate these points for you so that essentially so you don't waste the training that you've done. A lot of you out there are in really, really good shape at this point of the year. And one of the questions that comes up a lot of the time in our private coaching group is, you know, it's essentially, have I done enough training? I don't feel like I'm doing enough during the final 2 weeks. I feel as though all my training is slipping away. And of course it's not. That's the difficulty that the taper plays on your mind. So there's two aspects to it. We're going to talk about how to get your taper absolutely correct, so you enter your iron or half iron race in really great shape for racing. But it's also talking about the specifics that you can take care of for race day, so that you go to race day with no stone left unturned and going in there completely confident that you're ready to go. And actually, this is a really good thing for you to spend time on as you approach race day and you're not doing as much training because of your taper. Spend some time thinking about all of the other things you need to think about, nutrition, pacing, kit, all of that stuff, and get it ready all in advance. Right, before we go into that though, some races that have happened recently. This last weekend was Ironman Cork. It's not happened for the last couple of years because of the pandemic. And the time that it did happen before, it's only been held once before and the swim was cancelled. The weather was absolutely hideous that time. This time, it was an amazing day. They caught the tail end of the British heat wave. It was hot, but not incredibly hot. It was a beautiful day. And I've heard reports from both our athletes and other coaches that I know that one of the quotes I heard was, Cork is going to become the new Ironman Wales. The support from the locals, the support from people that are out there was absolutely incredible. It's a beautiful course, made more beautiful on a nice day. But the coach I was listening to talk was saying there was a black market going on in bunting and flags. There were decorated bikes out all around the bike course with flowers on. He said it was the most amazing thing that he'd ever seen, and it completely blew him away. And this is a guy who's been in Ironman coaching for, you know, over 10 years. He said it's one of the greatest races he thinks he's ever been to. And I don't think it's just him talking up because it's from Ireland. It was obvious the passion that came across for it. And I've heard the same thing from our athletes. Lots and lots of local support out on the course and a really beautiful course, you know, tough and hilly, but a really beautiful course. Overall results, it was a female-only pro race. There were no male pro races, although we will come to that in a minute. I don't know whether it's controversy or not. The first woman across the line was subsequently disqualified. And as we go to record, is still disqualified pending an appeal. She was disqualified for what's been described as outside assistance. Now, what that is, I don't know. So Svenja Thoes was first over the line and was disqualified. Unfortunately for her, obviously, that's a very difficult thing to have happen as you cross the line and win an Ironman event. But fantastic for Simone Mitchell coming through, a previous winner of Ironman Wales. Simone's a great athlete who we've had on the podcast a couple of times before. She's a wonderful person, and she's really been struggling with injuries over the last couple of years. So it's great to see her come back into fantastic form. So she officially took the win there. I'm just going to call up the official race results here. Okay, so Simone took the win in 9:27 from Laura Zimmerman in 9:28 and C. Sainter in third in 9:34. Apparently, Simone made the pass with not very far to go in the race. So it really goes to show digging in there and really racing for, you know, what what Simone thought was second on the road really paid off for her. I'm sure it's not the way she'd want to win, but hey, it's a win. I'm sure you'll take it, right? So that's the female pro results there. Over on the male side, now again, there was some interesting news post-race. I read a report somewhere, I think it was in one of the Irish newspaper websites. The first male across the line was a guy called Chris Minton, who races pro, and he is originally from Cork, from Ewell itself. It was his hometown, and he said, 14 years ago, I took up the sport here, and you know, everyone was so good to me. They were looking after me and showing me the ropes. I felt like today I had to give something back as a thank you for everything they've done. The hardest part of the race was not getting carried away by the crowds. Windmill Hill was an unbelievable goosebumps experience, and the run course was as well. I've never had an experience like that before, and that was worth an extra 10% alone. So he crossed the line in 8:38, but because he's got a pro license, he didn't count for the overall results. So the overall age group winner was a Danish gentleman, Christopher Louis Heik. He crossed the line in 9:24 from Dan McParland in second. Dan was on the podium at Ironman UK a few weeks back as well, an old training partner of mine. So it's awesome to see him have another great race in 9:30. And G. Stewart in third in 3:15. I wonder, yeah, it's Graham Stewart. There we go. He's a long time name. People will recognize him. So Graham, an ex-pro there. He crossed the line in 9:32. So yeah, great racing there. Over from our Team Oxygen Addict athletes, we had seven or eight racing, and all of them have come back absolutely raving about this event. But my biggest hat off of the day, it's going to our athlete, Dave Brown, who was racing in the male 50 category, finished in seventh place. I think he was 11:04 and managed to get the Kona slot at the roll down ceremony. So we're absolutely made up for David. He says, I had 100% weak and 99% on my race ready score. So that represents 99% completion of his training over the previous 12 weeks, which is an amazing achievement. And obviously, absolutely well-deserved race result there from David. He said, what can I say? The system works. Aside from a little hiccup with illness in March, I've been uber consistent with the training. I've moved stuff around when it's been needed, but I've always tried to balance out the heavy sessions and concentrate on getting the sessions done. And obviously it's worked. I hit the start line at Ironman Cork feeling ready to go. And yes, I've had some extra contact with Chris Palfreyman, the coach on the high performance program, to really prep me. And bam, seventh in age group on a tough and hot day out. So David's been working with Coach Chris on our high performance program, really taking care of the, you know, the very, very smallest details and trying to get everything absolutely nailed for race day. And it's super paid off for David. He had two of the fastest transitions of the day. I think, let me see if I can call these up. I think his T1 was 3 minutes and his T2 was under 3 minutes, was 2:30, involving a lot of running as well. So fantastic way to take care of all the details. And those few minutes have moved him up, you know, from 10th to 7th and got that Kona slot. So it just goes to show at the very pointy end of age group racing, those details really, really do make a difference. So fantastic work, David. I'm super stoked that you've got your Kona slot all ticked off. We also then had Andy McConville cross the line in 11:50. We had Dave Naylor cross the line. He had a storming performance in 11:56 to break that 12-hour barrier. Matt Davis crossed the line in 13:46. Matt wasn't even sure he was going to race the day before. He's had a bad back for a long time. And the 8-hour drive over, he messaged me the day before and said, I can barely walk after getting out of the car. What shall I do? So we talked it through and agreed he was going to see if he was well enough the next day to get up and try the first loop of the swim. And I watched him with bated breath all day, and he got himself, you know, he had a really good swim and really a PB swim, I think, actually, which just goes to show, doesn't it, that how it feels in your body might not be how it feels on race day. A PB swim, a great ride, and then he had a really solid run to get himself to the finish in 13:46. So really made up there. And Paul Fitzsimmons crossed the line in 14:29. So yeah, really made up for you guys. It's great to see you get some decent weather to race in Cork. And it's awesome to hear that Ironman Cork has turned out to be such a well-supported race. I really hope it can pick up some momentum now post-pandemic and really, you know, get itself on the map worldwide, because it's got the most beautiful course. And just like Wales has proven, these like small town communities that really get behind an Ironman can absolutely make it an incredible event. Same as we've seen in Bolton, same as we've seen in Tenby. The UK's got three incredible races for local support there. So yeah, we're really, really spoiled for choice there, which is it's just fantastic to be racing Ironman in the UK at the moment. Okay, so next up, coming up this weekend, we've got two interesting races going on. First up, Ironman Kalmar in Sweden. Long-standing race. It got taken into the Ironman brand about 10 years ago. Notable interest for us because Ali Brownlee, this is his attempt to tick his Kona slot and get the Kona ticket this year. If he races anything like he did at 70.3 Swansea a couple of weeks ago, he is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Very fast course, Kalmar, and there's a lot of guys racing. I think there are over 70 pro men on the start list, some of them very, very fast racers as well. So let's go through some of the names that are on here. Could turn out to be, you know, one of the fastest Ironmans we've ever seen if people show up in good shape and their bodies hold together. We've got racing Al Brownlee. Obviously, we've got Cam Wirth, Jesper Svensson, Michael Weiss. There's also Patrick Nielsen, Clemente McKernan, Rasmus Fenningsen's racing, Peter Heimrich, Anthony Costa. So there's 10 guys there who are going to be pushing like sub 750 kind of times. They all ride together and they all push each other on. It could be really amazing race to see. And obviously, it's a lot of those guys. It is the last chance to qualify for a Kona slot for this year. So yeah, exciting times. Get on there and watch that on the Ironman coverage. That'd be awesome. Also this week is the Collins Cup. So the Collins Cup teams have been announced, although the head-to-head matchups have not been announced yet. So let's go through and see who we've got racing here this weekend. We have got, on the men's side, Christian Blumenfeld, Gustav Iden, Patrick Lange, Magnus Ditlev, Lionel Sanders, Braden Curry, Daniel Backergaard, Matt Hansen, Sam Long, Sam Laidlow, Max Newman, Rudy Von Berg, Chris Lieferman, Jackson Laundrie, Ben Knut, Jason West, Aaron Royal. And get this, Hayden Wild's been picked for the internationals team. So strong off the back of his silver at the Commonwealth Games. That guy can race over all distances. It's fantastic to see. He's the complete package. I'd love to see him race an Ironman. On the women's side, we've got Daniela Reef, Anne Howe, Gloria Phillip, Kat Matthews, Paula Findlay, Sky Mensch, Ashley Gentle, Chelsea Sodaro, Holly Lawrence, Jackie Herring, Nicola Spirig, Tamara Jewett, Jocelyn McCauley, Ellie Salthouse, Sophie Watts, Sarah True, Victoria Lopez, and Flora Duffy's been picked for the international team there as well. So Hayden Wild and Flora Duffy, that's two amazing short course names to mix up there, isn't it? So fantastic racing that's going to happen. The format's going to be head-to-head three-way races. One American, one European, one international. And I think they leave every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes racing over an adapted sort of 70.3 distance, 2K swim, 80K, 20K run or thereabouts. You can watch it on Eurosport if you've got that, or there's online viewing available as well. Yeah, so exciting racing. These guys get paid up front to race. There's 100 grand for the top races there and coming down. And so people are getting well paid for doing this racing. But I don't think that's why anyone's turning up on the start line. They're doing it because they want to get out there and smash each other over the distance. So there's going to be good racing happening there. If you are an age grouper who's racing either Ironman Copenhagen this weekend or Ironman Kalmar, I want to wish you the best of luck. I hope it goes really, really well. And that leads us into this week's interview. Now, before I talk a little bit about our, not an interview, but a special, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration. The fueling and the hydration part of your race day is as important on race day as the training was in the lead up to it. If you don't get the hydration, the electrolytes and the calories correct, you're not going to get the result that you deserve. You're not going to race to your potential and it can potentially go horribly, horribly wrong for you. So one of the things I'll talk about here is how we balance out electrolytes, fluid needs and the calories that you're going to need on race day. But what I want you to do is go over to Precision Fuel and Hydration's website, link in the show notes, and they have got their fueling and hydration planner that you can use there. So I'll ask you a few questions and it'll give you a really good lead as to how many grams of sodium you're going to need, how much liquid you're going to need, and how many grams of carbs you're going to need for racing. Again, I cannot stress this enough. It is an essential part of your long distance racing in order to get this right so you can get to the finish line in shape. Whether it's 70.3 or Ironman, you can't do it without eating the right number of calories from carbs, getting the right electrolytes in and the right fluid in, especially if it's hot. So use their planner if you haven't done before. Listen to the information I'm going to give you here. PFNH have got some fantastic, simple, easy to use products. Their electrolytes come with the grams of carbs clearly marked on. The gels and the chews come with the grams of carbs marked on, so you know exactly how many grams of carbs you're taking in. It makes a no-brainer. The chews in particular are really delicious and easy to eat on the move. So you get the mini bento box, pull them out, have a couple of those. There's your 30 grams of carbs. Really tasty, so much so that my son keeps stealing them from my sports nutrition package. So get yourself some of those well ahead of time. Get yourself a trial pack from PFNH. Try the stuff in training first, regardless though of which product you use, you need to get this right. So head over to precisionfuelandhydration.com and remember you can use the code OA22 for 15% off your first order of electrolytes, gel and drink mixes over at precisionfuelandhydration.com. Okay, we're going to go over into this week's special then, talking about how you can get the best out of yourself on race day, how you can nail your taper so you get to race day fresh and ready to go, and thinking about all of the things that you need to think about in the couple of weeks leading up to your big race so you've got everything ready to go and, frankly, so you don't go completely bonkers during the taper time. All right, here we go then. This is our special on tapering and race preparation. What I'm going to do is talk you through exactly what we do in terms of tapering down for iron distance and half iron distance race days within Team Oxygen Addict. And I'm also then going to talk you through the specifics of how we prepare for race day, however that looks. We're going to go through various strategies that I use with our athletes to really help you focus in on getting the most out of your race day. One of our big mottos within the team is to control the controllables. So I want you to go into your race day knowing exactly what you need to do on race day. And the first part of that is having done all the hard work in the training to actually get the taper nailed. So let's go over this, you know, in really simple terms first. The purpose of the taper is to get you to race day feeling fresh and ready to race really well without being fatigued. And there's obviously two balances here. You're going to increase your fitness by doing more training, but that's also going to increase your fatigue levels. We need you doing enough activity during the 2 weeks before you race so that you don't go out of your mind, but taking enough of a break from the training so your body recovers and sheds the fatigue that you've built up during the huge training block. So there is definitely a science to this and there's definitely an art to this. So I'll talk you through the way we do this within Team Oxygen Addict. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to end your training block 2 weekends before race day with a big race simulation weekend. We'll do this whether we're doing iron distance racing, whether we're doing half iron distance racing. Obviously, the distances will be different and appropriate for each of those races. But that last weekend, 2 weekends out, is what I view the last weekend where we're going to be doing training that's directly aimed at building fitness for your event. Everything after that weekend, for the 2 weeks leading up to it, we're shedding the fatigue, we're freshening you up with the aim of you feeling fantastic by race day. And I'm sure there's a lot of people sitting here in the last few weeks of their training before their races, just really tired all the time, really fatigued. If you're in the midst of a big training block, you can't probably remember what it felt like to feel fresh. So that's the first important thing for you here. By race day, you will feel fresh and feel amazing and you won't feel tired all the time. That's the key point of the taper. But that's only going to happen if we get enough rest in these last 2 weeks and enough recovery sessions in the last 2 weeks. And we're just going to do enough training during those last 2 weeks that it keeps your system ticking over. If you just sat and did nothing for 2 weeks, you'd feel awful on race day. So there's definitely an art to it here of how we're going to balance that. So first up, let's talk about the race simulation weekend, 2 weekends out before your big race. It's going to be a 3-day weekend starting on the Friday. And the general overview is it's going to be the distance that you're racing broken up over 3 days effectively. So on the Friday, we're going to have a 45-ish minute ride just to shake your legs out. And then we're going to have a race distance swim. On the Saturday, we're going to have a long ride and a brick run off the bike. And then first thing on the Sunday morning, on tired legs, we're going to have you do a long run. And that's the same pattern whether you're racing half distance or full distance. So again, it's Friday, long swim. Saturday, long ride with a brick run off the bike. Sunday, long run. The way we break this down for the two distances, if you're racing the 70.3 or half iron distance, you're going to do a 2,000 meter swim on the Friday. You can either do that in the pool, you can do it as a straight swim, or you can do it as 20 by 100, or you can do it in open water, again, either as a straight swim of the distance, or if your lake is broken up into laps, it's totally fine to swim a lap, take a little bit of a break, and go again. I'm a really big fan, if you possibly can, of doing this in open water and doing it as a long duration swim. For those of you who can't get to open water on the Friday, it's also fine to do this Saturday morning before you do your long ride and your run off the bike. Obviously, the logistics of organizing that can be really difficult, especially for iron distance racers. So it's totally fine to do this on the Friday as well. If you can do it Friday evening, all the better. What we're trying to do is load your race distance, if you like. We're trying to load it all into a sort of 36-hour period between Friday evening and Sunday morning. Again, it's not the end of the world if you have to do it Friday morning, and you can do it Saturday morning and cram it into a bit more time as well. I'd say doing the swim on the Saturday morning is more appropriate for our more experienced athletes and for our athletes who are looking to be more at the competition end. It's turning it into more of a race simulation weekend by doing it on the morning of that Saturday as well. But obviously, there's more to organize for you to be able to then bike straight out the swim or drive back from the swim and go for your ride. On the Saturday, your race simulation brick is going to be a ride of your expected duration come race day. So for half iron distance, I'd advise up to 3 hours of riding, no more. For iron distance, I'd advise up to 6 hours of riding, no more. Even if you expect to be out there for longer, cap it at 6 hours, because I found the recovery is exponentially longer after that 6 hour mark. Okay. And that 6 hour ride is going to be done as close to simulating your race day as you can. Try and simulate the terrain you're going to face on race day. Try and use the kit you're going to use on race day in terms of clothing, helmet, bike, race wheels, race tires, race suit, all of that stuff. As much as you can simulate for race day, that is going to give you the best opportunity to try all of these things out 2 weeks before the race. At this point, it should just be reassuring you that everything is going to work fine. And again, the intensity of the ride that you're going to be doing is going to match the intensity that you're going to try and do on race day. Now, obviously, we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail later on, but whether you're riding just on feel, whether you're riding to heart rate zones, whether you're riding with power zones, try and match those to what you're going to do on race day and make it as specific as you can to your race day ride. As soon as you've finished that ride, I want you to have your trainers by the front door and ready to go. In you come, you put the bike away, you get the trainers on, and you're straight out of the door for a run. For our iron distance runners, you're going to be going out and running 45 minutes. For our 70.3 half iron distance athletes, you're going to be doing 30 minutes off the bike. What we're looking for here is running at your expected race day speed. And what I would guide you towards with this, our athletes who we coach will have very specific pace guidance and they'll know exactly how fast I expect them to run. If that's not you, a really good guide here is take the average pace of your recent long runs. Just look at that. That's a best case scenario for what's going to happen on race day and run that kind of pace. Don't be tempted under any circumstances to run harder than you're going to go on race day. Okay? That's really important. We don't want you absolutely killing yourself off the bike for either half iron or iron distance. I want you to break this up as a 9 minute run and a 1 minute walk. That's also very important. We're going to practice what we're going to do on race day for our iron distance racers. For our 70.3 distance racers, I'm happy with you guys running that as a solid run off the bike without any breaks. If you want to, you can break that up with a 30 second walk every 10 minutes. And then going into the Sunday of the race simulation ride weekend, what we're going to be looking for is our iron distance athletes are going to do a 2-hour race simulation run. Our 70.3 distance, half iron distance athletes are going to do 75 minutes. So 75 minutes for half iron, 2 hours for our iron distance races. And again, we're aiming to run this at or about our expected goal race pace come race day. I want you to break it up as a 9-1 still for our iron distance athletes. I want you to break it up as 30 seconds walk every 10 minutes for our 70.3 distance racers, and try and get everything the same as you're going to try and do come race day. So for this whole weekend, we want you getting your nutrition, your hydration, your electrolytes. All of that intake should be practicing exactly what you're going to be taking in on race day, including where possible the same brands that you'll be taking in on race day, so that you know exactly what to expect come race day. At the end of this weekend, firstly expect this run to feel extremely challenging. It's going to be one of the hardest workouts you do in your entire build, because you're doing this entire weekend really fatigued, not tapered and not fresh. It's going to probably feel harder than completing your Ironman or your 70.3 will do, because you're doing it tired. So it's really good mental practice to get into this and think, this is going to feel really, really challenging. There are going to be times when your mind tells you that you're going to want to quit, but you have to face up to that. You're going to accept it's going to happen ahead of time, because it's definitely going to happen on race day. This is your time to practice having answers to the voice in the head that tells you that it wants you to stop, that it wants you to walk, that it wants you to quit. That'll be real practice for race day for you there. So that's the big race day simulation weekend with 2 weeks to go in the bag. Expect to feel really tired at the end of this. And if you possibly can, cash in some credits with your spouse, with your family, and build in recovery time for the rest of that Sunday. It'd be a really bad day to plan to go to Thorpe Park on the roller coasters afterwards, or to go for a long walk. You really want to be putting your feet up and recovering and getting as much rest and recovery as you can. Because from this point on, it's all about recovering from all of that big block of training and starting to feel fresh for race day. So we're going to go into the final 2 weeks of the taper now. So from this point on, everything that you do over these 2 weeks is focused on getting you to feel fresh and rested and ready to go for race day. So before you even think about training, think about life. Try and schedule in extra sleep. Try and schedule in good nutrition. Try and schedule in lots of extra salads. Try and schedule in staying in bed in the mornings if you possibly can, getting to bed an hour earlier in the evenings if you possibly can. Everything you can do to help your body recover and absorb that training, even if you can get an afternoon nap in if you're lucky enough to be in charge of your own schedule, all of this stuff will really, really help. The 2 weeks of taper is going to start with two complete rest days. So not even recovery swims, I want two complete rest days. And that's really going to help you start to shed that fatigue. As we go through this week, 2 weeks out before race day, expect to not feel great. Expect to feel really tired. You probably won't start to come round until the Tuesday or the Wednesday of race week itself. You're going to feel usually pretty lousy for a week, because you're not going to have that usual training load. Your body won't know what's hit it. And you're going to be really tired and fatigued from the big block of training culminating in the race sim weekend as well. So expect that. The workouts you've got from Wednesday through to Saturday are 30 minutes maximum, either 30 minute run or a 30 minute easy ride, 30 minutes easy swim. All we're trying to do here is just keep your body moving. Do not do anything hard at all. So literally nothing above zone 2, conversational, 70% of FTP kind of effort, easy pace on the run. All of it is just about keeping your body moving. Don't be tempted to put faster, harder sessions in during this week. So all the way through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 30-minute sessions there. On the Sunday of this week, we're going to let you do something a bit longer. We're going to have a 90-minute bike ride with a 15-minute run off the bike. So the 90 minutes is going to be split up with two blocks of about 20 minutes or 30 minutes in there at your goal, approaching goal race intensity. I'm not too prescriptive on how long those blocks are. The idea is to go out for an hour and a half, enjoy riding your race bike, enjoy being in the aero position, enjoy hopefully the feeling of starting to get fresh, and to put some efforts in at or around race day effort, whatever that means for you at half iron or iron distance, and just start to enjoy that feeling of, do you know what? I start to feel really good and I'm ready to go for this race next weekend. You come back, again, your trainer's there by the door, and you're going to go out and you're going to do 15 minutes running off the bike, and you're going to start easy and you're going to build towards race pace. So for iron distance races, you're not going to get above easy pace for all except our very top level age groupers. 70.3 and half iron athletes, what we want you doing here is going off and building. So the last 5 minutes of this brick run is at your goal race day half iron race pace. So it's fine to feel rotten for the first 5 or 10 minutes. Expect that off the bike, like always. At about the 5 to 10 minute mark, your legs will start to come around, and at that bit, lift the pace to goal 70.3 half iron race pace. Run that for the last 5 minutes, and then just finish, walk and cool down, and you're done for the week. Then we go into race week itself. Race week itself here, we are rapidly approaching the point where you're going to be feeling really good. So rest day on the Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to have again short workouts, 20 minutes, 30 minutes long, some shorter sweet spot efforts on the bike and one session, short e-pace run on the run, short sessions in the pool with some race pace type efforts in the pool there, just to keep your body firing and moving over. So rest day Monday, activity Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a rest day again on Friday, because we're going to want to actually do, we're going to actually want to do some activity on the Saturday. So that's going to liven our bodies up. By the Wednesday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday of this week, you will be starting to feel really good. You'll be starting to feel really fresh. You'll really be willing and, you know, desperate to go and do some, probably want to go a lot harder than your training plan is telling you to do, but I urge you to resist that effort. You're allowed to put a little bit of effort in on that Tuesday bike session, but for the rest of it, keep it really easy. On the Saturday before your race day, obviously you're going to have a lot to do in terms of getting to the event venue, sorting your bike out, racking, working out where everything is and all of that. In and amongst all of that, when you've got it all done, ideally, go down to the venue and already have your running kit on and your running trainers. Get your bike racked, get all of that done, and then you're going to go and do an easy 15 to 20 minute jog. And in and amongst that jog, I just want you to allow yourself to stretch out for 30 second efforts, just running up to a little bit faster than goal race pace. Just really start to feel how good your body feels. And it really is a mental boost rather than a physical one. So it's a 20 minute run. It's really going to get your body systems firing back up again after that rest day on the Friday. And at that point, you're done. Everything's racked. You're ready to go. And we are away. We're off back to the hotel, feet up, ready to relax in order to go for race day the next day. So that is our taper taken care of. You've obviously got a lot of stuff to take care of on the Saturday, you know, with travel, getting things racked. It might even be that you travel on the Friday for the bigger events. But just make sure you take the time in all of that. Try and stay off your feet as much as you can. The aim of this isn't to spend 2 hours walking around the expo. That's going to tire your legs out. You want to spend the minimum time on your legs as you possibly can that day, and still fit in that 20-minute run. The earlier in the day you can fit that in, the better. And then back to your hotel, feet up, try and rest up as much as you can for the rest of the day. Okay, that takes us to race day. We're going to have a race day overview at this point. So the first thing we'll think about is the swim on race day. Before you even think about getting into the water, think about this as an overall picture. Firstly, for our iron distance athletes, an iron distance triathlon is essentially running the London Marathon after riding to the start line from Bristol, having got to the start of the bike by swimming the Bristol Channel. And that kind of puts into perspective what kind of day that is. If you look at a map of Great Britain, you're riding all the way across Great Britain to London to run the London Marathon after having swum the Bristol Channel from Wales to get there. It is a massive, massive, long undertaking. And the reason I'm pointing this out to you is lots of people forget that as the start gun goes off, and they try and often do swim their fastest 200 meters of their life in the first 200 meters of the swim. That's clearly not the best way to set up that kind of day that we've just talked about. We want you thinking the feel of an Ironman race day should be relaxed and steady all day. You should be not very out of breath unless you're on the hills all day. It should be a long, steady day of athletic activity, but you should at no point feel like you're putting a max effort in. For all but our very, very top end age group athletes looking to win their age groups, it's a bit of an exception for them, but for the vast majority of the rest of us, going off really hard in the swim is not going to help your day. Okay, so there's the caveat and there's everything I want you to think this through in the lens of you are exercising all day, going all the way across Great Britain on a bike before running the London Marathon. For most humans, they can't imagine running the London Marathon. So it's putting in perspective what a big challenge this is. So first up into the swim then today. How hard should our swim feel? Well, it shouldn't feel hard at all at any point. You shouldn't feel out of breath at any point during the swim. You should aim to swim easy and relaxed, long, smooth strokes. You should be able to breathe every 3 or every 4 strokes. If you are gasping for air, that's a good sign you've gone off far too hard. Now, you've got time to practice this in training yet. When you do your race simulation ride and your race simulation swim that weekend, just go in with the aim of doing a really long, relaxed swim, long, smooth strokes. If you've got that as a mantra, rather than thinking about going fast, you won't go far wrong. I want you to have looked at a clear plan for the swim course before you go to your event. Know whether it's 1 loop or 2 loops or 3 loops. Is an Australian exit? Where will the sun be rising? Have a plan for all these kind of things. Knowing what the swim course is going to be ahead of time can really help you have a plan in your head for what it should look like. Obviously, it's very often going to look very different from the water. And often with lots of swimmers in there, you can't see very far in front of you either. So have a plan for what the swim course is going to look like. And whether your event is a mass start, whether your event is a rolling start, seeding yourself properly is a really important part to the start of your day. So if you're a good swimmer, go at the front. If you're a not very good swimmer, if you're not very confident, if you want to stay away, seed yourself further back in both the mass start and the rolling starts. And you can just have a nice, easy, relaxed start to the day. It's much easier, I think, in the races that have got a rolling start still. Seed yourself in the right pen. Just be totally relaxed. And a few of you go in the water at once. Off you go and you're happy. If you are in an event like the Outlaw Full that's got a mass start again, remember we've got a big, wide lake to start in. There will be 5, 6, 7 rows of swimmers lined up. Just move yourself towards the back. There's plenty of time. You're going to be in the water for, you know, at least an hour, most of us, up to 2 hours. Plenty of time to swim around people if you've seated yourself too far back. Find the position where you feel most comfortable. If you're not very confident, put yourself at one of the edges, put yourself at the back, and give yourself loads of time and space. My last tip for this is very often in races, you won't get the chance these days to get into the water and feel what the water temperature is going to be like before you get going. So a couple of things you can do here. As you start to swim, just be really relaxed and put your face in the water and lift it out if you need to. But treat the first 50, 100 meters as a bit of a swim warm up. That's totally fine. Okay. Remember that the other swimmers around you all have the same goal. It might feel like they're trying to kill you, but actually their goal is just to have a contact-free swim to get to the end. So remember to be kind to the other swimmers around you. If you accidentally clip somebody with your hand and they look up, apologize to them, right? Everybody wants to feel that they're having a good, safe swim, and everybody wants to feel happy and confident in the water. So go in with that mindset that everyone's there to have a good swim and you won't go far wrong. One thing you can do leading up to the swims, especially if the water might not be that warm as you're going in, is in the couple of weeks leading up to your race, fill the sink in your bathroom with cold water. Just practice putting your face in the cold water and breathing out into the cold water. Lift your head out to breathe, face back in the cold water again, blow out, lift your face up to breathe again. And you'll be surprised what a massive effect that has in that what can feel like really, really cold water when you first do this, after a couple of minutes of that, can actually feel really quite pleasant, and you get acclimated to it really quickly. Now, you don't get a chance to do that on race day morning these days, but acclimating your face to colder water in the run-up, in the taper week, can be really, really helpful for you. Okay, next section, race day, the bike. Let's talk about this. The bike is where you're going to be spending the vast majority of your time come race day. You're going to spend over half your day on the bike. So really important to reiterate this. How should it feel? It should feel relaxed and steady all day. You should feel not very out of breath unless you're going up hills. And even then, unless you're on really steep hills, you shouldn't feel as though you're working hard. If you are just going off feel, the idea of being able to have a conversation with somebody is a good guide that you're not working too hard. If you've got heart rate monitor and you know your zones, use your heart rate to stick in zone 2, and that will guarantee that you get to the end in good shape to run well. If you're riding with a power meter, the guidance is 60 to 70% of FTP for iron distance athletes and 80 to 85% of FTP for our half iron distance athletes. And the slower athlete should be at the lower end of that range and the faster athlete at the higher end of that range. And the reason is really simple. We want you expending similar amounts of energy. So the longer you're out there, the less of your FTP you can expend per hour. Okay. So obviously if you're Lionel Sanders or Joe Skipper and you finished in 4 hours, yes, you can be riding 80, 82% of FTP the whole time. If you're a middle back of the packer doing 8 hours, 9 hours in an Ironman, you're going to be much closer to 60% of your FTP. Those guys, you just want to be focusing on doing enough on the bike to make sure that you make the cutoffs twice up to get out onto the marathon. Okay? Know the bike course is the second point we're going to talk about. If you haven't had a chance to ride the bike course, make sure you've at least looked at the maps and you've got a good idea in your head of what it looks like, and try and get out and drive it the day or two before race day. Drive one loop of the course and you've got a really good idea what you're letting yourself in for. Get a good idea of whether the road surface is smooth or not. A lot of the bike courses, especially in the UK, don't have great road surfaces. If you're fortunate enough to be racing in America or in Europe, in Germany, Austria, a lot of those courses have fantastically smooth tarmac. So know what to expect. That's a big part of it. Know whether it's a very hilly course or a very flat course. And if it is very hilly, you're going to have to work really hard on controlling your effort on the uphills and then recovering on the downhills. Now, there's two kinds of hills you're going to face in your races. The first one, long and shallow. Ideally, we want you climbing these seated, and we want you to limit yourself to 90% of threshold if you're in a 70.3 race, and ideally 80% of threshold if you're in an iron distance race. We don't want to ideally be going much above our usual Ironman race, our usual race day race power as we're climbing these hills. The second kind of hill, the short and sharp hill, is the kind that you have to get out of the saddle to climb up. You have to get out and stand and push on the pedals. Our guidance here is, in terms of power and heart rate, you're going to have to do whatever you need to do to get up that hill, but try and do it in your easiest gear. So you've got the best chance of keeping your power down as much as you possibly can by picking your easiest gear to do that. For all but the very fastest age groupers looking for the win, we don't want you pushing really, really hard on the bike. That's a really key part of this. We want you conserving energy. And if you like, the closer you can get to keeping your power level at the average power level we want it for across the whole bike leg, the better chance you're going to have of having a really good run. The spikier your power is, the more ups and downs there've been, the more you've had to go really hard on hills, you know, we're gradually reducing that chance of having a really good run off the bike. And then thirdly, think about the bike that you're going to be riding on and match that firstly to the terrain you're going to be facing and the kind of riding that you've been doing in training. If you're trying to decide between a TT bike and a road bike, your decision should be made a long way before race day. Typically, very hilly courses are more suited to road bikes. Flatter, faster courses are obviously suited to TT bikes if you're lucky enough to have two bikes to choose between. But again, if it's a very hilly course, handling is often more important than aerodynamics for most people, especially if there's lots of, you know, sharp bends on the way down. We find that being comfortable and confident that we're not going to be in any trouble on the downhills is much more important than being really, really aerodynamic. But main caveat here being ride what you've trained on bike-wise. That's the thing that's going to get you through. Thing you can really control leading up to race day, if you are facing a very hilly bike course, is thinking about your gearing. It's really easy for your bike mechanic to change the cassette, put a new chain on your bike, relatively inexpensive. You're looking at £70 to £80 all in. If you're facing a very hilly bike course, having that bigger cassette on can really make a difference to you being able to keep the power down on the hills. And that in itself is an investment in having better legs for the run. Which takes us over to the run for race day. So again, first up, how hard should the run feel? Well, it shouldn't feel hard at all for our iron distance racers. And for our 70.3 distance racers, I'm going to advise you to be building into the effort here. This is where our advice diverges apart, okay? Our 70.3 athletes, especially the closer to the pointy end of the race you can get, you can be looking to get to the point where the second half of the run really feels like a running race and you're really pushing yourself hard. For almost everybody racing the iron distance, it should feel like a conversational effort. The challenge is not going to be in how fast you can go over the first 10 miles. It's going to be on whether you can still run over the last 10 miles. So key thing here being, know the pace that you're aiming to run at that's reasonable. Don't start too fast. Again, the average pace of your best long runs leading into this is the best case scenario. So if that has been 6 minute Ks in training, you've got to have a very, very good reason for running 5 minute Ks on race day. And because my legs feel good is not a very, very good reason. You need to be doing what you've practiced on race day, especially for our longer distance iron athletes. Okay. The run course itself, you need to know exactly what you're doing. Check out how many loops you've got to run, know what the profile of it is, know where the hills are, know where you're going to plan to have the, or where they've planned to have the aid stations. All of that can be done by looking at the route map ahead of time, but know what to expect. And finally, my advice for race day for running for both distances, plan to use the aid stations for your walk breaks. So for Ironman, we want a minute walk break. Half Iron, we want a 30-second walk break. Walking through the aid stations has two main benefits. The first one is you're going to be able to get the aid into your body, not all over your tri-suit and your hands and your shoes. That's really important because we need those calories and that liquid going into your body. But secondly, getting covered in sticky liquid all over your hands and your feet and your legs can be really unpleasant and really distracting when you're trying to work hard. So plan the aid stations there. That'll really help you get the aid down. You're going to be able to walk for a bit more. Usually, I think it's 30 seconds worth of walking, drinking and eating at an aid station. So as soon as you've done that in your 70.3, bang, you're back up and you're running again. Off you go. You're away to the races. For our iron distance racers, I want you to continue to walk for another 30 seconds. Again, the walk break's really important. It's going to allow a real break for the muscles of your legs. The change of gait is really good at unloading the muscles. It's really good at changing the recruitment pattern. It's really good, most importantly, at delaying the onset of severe fatigue for later on. So for our iron distance racers, we're going to do this walk break all the way to the 18 to 20 mile point. For our 70.3 racers, you're going to do it for the first half of your event, and then I'm going to let you run the last 10, 11K as hard as you can. Okay. Now, iron distance racers, if you get to the sort of 8 miles to go point and you're feeling good, you can let it rip at that point. Off you go. You can run as hard as you can as well. But just bear in mind, you're still going to need to take aid in. The best way to take the aid in is to walk through the aid station. But if you're feeling good, as soon as you finish that aid, you feel free to go and run hard again. If you're at the point where the race is going south and it's really, really hard to keep running at this point, by all means, keep that walk break there for the minute. If you need to insert an extra minute's walk break in there as well, my advice to you is going to be this. Plan when the next walk break is going to be. If it needs to go from a minute every 10 to a minute every 5, that's fine, but plan it. That's going to be what's going to keep you moving forwards as you go forward into your event. The last thing I think you want to do is just walk when you feel like it. If you get to the point where you're really fatigued and you have to start walking, it's so much better to have a plan and you can look at your watch and think, right, come on, 3 more minutes and I'll have the walk break. That can be something that's much, much more motivating than just keeping on keeping on walking from that point on. Right, let's talk hydration and nutrition strategies at this point. First up, before the race, breakfast. Have a breakfast that you know you stomach well, that you know you're going to absorb well, that you know works for you, and that is carbohydrate dense. So a bowl of porridge is a good example, a couple of slices of toast, a banana, a cup of coffee. Great race day morning. Whatever's worked for you in the past, go with. But remember, at this point, it's all about topping up the carbs so you're ready to go for race day. So make it starchy carbohydrate heavy. Get yourself to the race venue. Pre-race, we're looking at a bottle of sports drink between 30 to 60 minutes out. Have that with you and, you know, drink it to taste, to thirst. The last thing you want to do is be going into the race thirsty, okay? And then have a gel about 20 minutes before the race start. That ensures that you've got enough time to digest it before you get going, but also that you're then going to be fully topped up, ready to go for the event. Obviously, you get through the swim, you're not going to be able to take any nutrition or drinks in as you're doing that. And then onto the bike, nothing for the first 10 minutes. And then we're going to be aiming for 250 calories or 65 grams of carbs per hour as a rough rule of thumb. Now, it's going to be a little bit less or a little bit more depending on the size of the athlete. So if you're a smaller athlete, you might be dropping down to 50 grams of carbs an hour. If you're a bigger athlete, up to 80 grams of carbs per hour. But have practiced this in training. You should know what your numbers are by the time you get to race day. If you've got time, you start practicing this now and work out how many grams of carbs you take per hour and what works for you. You do not want to be getting hungry at any point on the bike. The precision fuel and hydration chews, gels, drinks are fantastic for this because they're marked with exactly how many grams of carbs they have on it. The little chew packs have got 30 grams of carbs in. We want you eating and drinking little and often, every 15 to 30 minutes. So if you're aiming for 65 grams of carbs an hour, that's a 30 gram chew pack twice in an hour, isn't it? And there you go, you're good. Whatever your number is, know what the number is for you and go ahead. Deliver that so you are eating and drinking to get everything in that you need. Remember, it's the carbs that are important, not the overall amount of calories. So some energy bars have got lots of protein, lots of fat in. Try and steer away from those. It's the carbs that you want. Definitely avoid things like, you know, you read all manner of things about people eating pork pies and crisps and stuff, and that's not what you want. We want the sugary carbs going in your body for race day. We don't want you drinking anything for the last 10 minutes on the bike or eating anything for the last 10 minutes on the bike. Let your stomach start to clear. And then as soon as you get onto the run, you are good to go again. Hydration wise, a good rule of thumb here is just don't get thirsty. People are going to be drinking between 500 to 1,000 milliliters per hour, depending on body size, heat, temperature, humidity, all of that stuff. It's going to be different for each individual person, but you've worked out in training. You know what works for you. And you know how to adapt it come race day. Again, hooking up with Precision Fuel and Hydration, have one of their calls with them. They will help you work out exactly how much you want to take in. You can use their online carb calculator as well. And that's a really good lead for how much you need in terms of carbs, in terms of electrolytes, in terms of fluid. Have a plan and have a plan for how to adapt that plan if it's extremely cold and wet or if it's extremely hot. Okay. And lastly, have a plan for how many electrolytes you need to take in with the fluid you're taking in. So you need to know whether you're a very salty or very heavy sweater. You need to be at the 1500 grams per liter end. Or if you're not, you need to be at the 500 milligrams per liter end. But you need to know how much you need to take in and you need to be taking care of it. On the run, well, you need to know how far apart the aid stations are. So check that out. Usually it's about 2.5K apart. Perfect timing for a lot of people for their walk breaks. And again, plan in that if you're going to be passing 3-4 aid stations an hour, what you're going to have at every aid station in order to deliver that 50 to 80 grams of carbohydrates and the amount of fluid that you need every hour. Okay? Last thing I want to say to you here is, control the controllables. Don't leave anything to chance. So firstly, don't try anything new on race day. You've got time before your race day. Don't do anything differently now. Get yourself a strategy and stick to it and have practiced it in training. Have a plan B for your your plans as well. What if your power meter fails on race day? Are you going to be able to use heart rate? Do you know what your zones are? Have a little think about the things that could possibly go wrong and how you can mitigate those things. Okay, get your kit sorted in plenty of time. If you need to get anything new, buy it weeks before the event, not hours before the event. Going down onto the swim start is not the place to suddenly discover that everybody else is using Body Glide around the wetsuit and you've never tried it before. So think about all of those things. Think about what you can have in your transition bags and in your special needs bags that you might need. For example, in your bike bag, you might need sun cream, chamois cream. You're going to need a puncture repair kit with you. You're going to need basic tools and know how to use them on the bike. Maybe you're going to need a rain jacket. Maybe you're going to need to change into comfortable bike shorts for your bike leg. Have a plan and know what you're doing. On the run, you might need sun cream again. You might need electrolyte tablets, a hat. Have those things ready. Get them in your bag ready so that they're there for you. Okay. And again, it's worth thinking about the special needs bag. You can leave things in this that you can pick up out on the course on the bike. So leaving a spare tube and a spare water bottle filled with water and electrolytes is a no-brainer. You might end up with a puncture and have used your spare tube in the first 10 miles. You might end up with your water bottles having ejected in the first 10 miles. Having that in the special needs bag is something easy that you can pick up as you go along. Okay. I think at this point that just about covers everything that we've worked with our team athletes in preparing for race day. If there's anything that we've mentioned here you're not sure of, drop me a line to help@oxygenaddict.com. Happy to help you out with these things. We've got a whole bunch of free resources available over oxygenaddict.com under the free resources tab. Loads of stuff about planning pace, planning power, planning race day stuff. So have a look there as a first resource and drop us a line if you need any more help. But I hope this guide, this overview, has given you a really good idea about what you can be doing in preparation for your race day, how to prepare, how to taper down, how to have a really awesome race day. And I hope it goes really well for you. Okay, guys, that brings us to the end of this week's show. Here are some discount codes and deals for you. PrecisionFuelAndHydration.com. Use the code OA22 for 15% off your first electrolyte order. And at TeamOxygenAddict.com, I think we've got the most comprehensive triathlon coaching program for busy age groupers. We've had a bunch of people contact us over the last month, actually, more so than usual in July and August, looking to join up with the team who've been listening to the podcast. And a really common theme is people saying, I've been listening to the podcast for years and I've been sitting there thinking about whether I should get in contact and talk about coaching for next year. If that's you, if you're sitting there and wondering whether you should make the move or not, just give us a call. There's a link in the show notes. We're really happy to talk through with you where you currently are to see if we can help you and to see how you can best get the best out of yourself going forwards. Like I said, if you are one of these people who'd like the people who've joined recently, you might have been trying to do this on your own for a while and maybe you've had good results or maybe it's been mixed results. But if you have a chat with us, we can work out what's working, what could be done differently if you join up with us and how we can help you, like I say, get the best out of yourself and just solve those last few problems that you might be struggling with in order to get a really good result at 70.3 or iron distance racing. Or in fact, any distance of triathlon, running, cycling, ultra distance events. We've got people with us in all of these events these days. So book a call. There's a link in the show notes to book a call with me or the coaching team. And remember, there's links in the show notes for all these sponsors, so you don't have to remember them. Until next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. See ya.